Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hi!
Hello there!
We're back!
Finally!
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
And Show Me Scares is back after a short sabbatical.
Sabbatical?
Yes.
I like that word. It's a new word.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, I'm really sorry that we weren't able to put out an episode last week, but life got me.
Got you. I was the one feeling rough Sunday.
So I had a very hard class I was trying to finish up, and I had a crap ton of homework to finish. I did not have the time to devote to putting out anything of any quality. So we just decided, let's hold off for a week, and we will get something epic out. Like, we'll do one of our stories we've had in our back pocket for a while. And so we are. And we're actually doing a cryptid story, which I'm not crazy about cryptids, but the more I read about them, the more I'm like, whoa.
You've really dug into this one.
I have spent a ton of time on this one. And it's very Missouri.
Yeah, I've never even heard of this until you brought it up.
We're going to talk about the Missouri Monster, or Momo.
What? Missouri has its own monster?
Yeah. Yeah,
I like
apparently.
It. Momo. Uh-huh. Such a good name.
So it's a Bigfoot-like creature, but it's got some differences.
Well, it has to, or it would just be Bigfoot.
Right. It would be the Missouri Bigfoot.
Yeah. Or just
the... Or Blue Man of the Ozarks.
Wow.
Because we name things weird here, apparently.
Momo's cool, though.
Yeah. But you'll see it has some similarities with the Blue Man, too. So
how do they know it's not the same?
There's differences. Mm-hmm. So most Bigfoot, Bigfoots.
What?
Bigfooters. Most of them have big old feet.
Like you.
They called out. They
shots fired.
Kind of had this... As far as all the reports go, or like the normal thing we hear about Bigfoot, is that he has he looks like an ape, pretty much, right?
Right.
Or some kind of primate. And this does not have the same head as what Bigfoot does. Bigfoot looks kind of normal. This thing does not look normal. This thing has a gigantic head. And you can't see its face at all, where Bigfoot normally doesn't have hair on his face.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, the reports differ, though, just like with everything. So,
of course.
Yeah. We'll see what we think. We have a lot to get through.
Knocking it out tonight, huh?
Yeah. Out of the park. Crack.
Because we are a day late.
Yeah.
A week and a day.
So, I did want to say thank you to everyone who reached out, because you guys were so awesome about us needing to take this break.
We have the best listeners.
Yeah, yeah. It was really great for everybody to be so supportive and say, do what you need to do and all of that. And I think we are hopefully bringing you something you really enjoy after waiting. So,
let's
enjoy.
Dig in.
And let's see what we think of this. Okay, guys? To begin this story, did you have something you needed to say there?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me a story for a second.
No. I was just saying I had this tickle in my throat, but it's not COVID.
Oh.
It's just allergies. I didn't know we was recording.
I need to start saying action.
And go.
Okay, so to start this story, we're going to go back 50 years. To the summer of
1971.
1969. Okay. Two women, Joan Mills and Mary Ryan, were traveling Highway 79 on their way to St. Louis. What? St. Louis. You heard of it? At around noon, they decided to pull off and have a picnic lunch.
Oh, how sweet.
Mm-hmm. They stopped just north of Louisiana, Missouri.
There's a Louisiana, Missouri?
There sure is. Louisiana, Missouri is a small town on the eastern edge of Missouri, right on the Mississippi River.
Very cool.
They chose a spot on the edge of a wood thicket. The scenery of the area was perfect for a lovely picnic break from driving. The women made sandwiches and began eating. Suddenly, they were overcome with a rank odor that seemed to come from the wooded area.
See, Bigfoot stinks too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're onto something here.
So I hear.
Joan thought it could have been skunks, but it wasn't quite the same smell. Then Joan saw it.
Ooh.
Something emerged from the thicket just a short distance from them. She pointed at it in horror, and Mary turned to see it too. She later said, "I turned around and this thing was standing there in the thicket. The weeds were pretty high and I just saw the top part of this creature. It was staring down at us."
That would scare the crap out of me.
Word. The tall primate-like creature started toward the women.
So it wasn't scared.
No. That's another thing that this thing is not like Bigfoot.
It's coming at you instead of running from you.
Yeah. They noticed as it was coming toward them that it was making gurgling noises.
Oh, gosh. Oh, good one.
I can't do it.
That's not. You should have quit with the first one.
It walked upright on 2 feet and its arms hung low to its knees.
What?
Mm-hmm. It did. Mary said it had hair all over the body as if it was an ape, yet the face was definitely human. It was more like a hairy human. The arms were partially covered with hair, but the hands and palms were hairless. We had plenty of time to see this.
I'm sure they was in shock at first.
Yeah. The women jumped up and ran to their car. Joan searched frantically for her keys, but realized in her haste she had left her purse sitting on the picnic table.
Oh, God.
The creature was now standing at that picnic table, and she was not about to get out and go get her keys. The creature walked over to the car, and as the women watched in horror, it placed its hands on the hood. It then moved around to the door. In the commotion, Joan accidentally hit the horn. This caused the creature to jump up in the air and began to retreat. Joan continued pressing on the horn, though the creature seemed to be no longer afraid because it realized that the horn wasn't going to do any harm. But it was like, meh, whatever, you're noisy, I'm walking away. It walked back over to the picnic table, ate the remaining sandwiches, and picked up the purse to investigate it. Finding nothing interesting about the purse, it threw it aside before walking away and disappearing back into the woods.
You think it was just looking for food?
Yeah.
Like, I don't... How does this thing have intelligence to look inside something?
It just picked up her purse. So, the way I understood it, it just picked it up and was, like, checking it out, like...
Okay.
It didn't, like, sit down and make a sandwich.
That's not what I meant.
I'm just saying.
I didn't know if it knew how to look inside the... Like, pick it up and look inside of a purse.
They didn't say that. They just said it investigated the purse.
Okay. I'm just on to something here.
Yeah, you are. You sure are. Okay. After they were sure it was gone, Joan ran from the car after they played rock, paper, scissors. You had to go. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be us.
Yep.
You have to go die.
No, you die. Have to go die. You left them out there.
Joan ran from the car, grabbed her purse, and the two women sped away. They didn't stop until they reached their destination of St. Louis, where they phoned the Missouri State Highway Patrol and reported the incident. So they said, "We knew nobody was going to believe us, but if somebody had gotten hurt after that and we didn't say something, we would have felt bad about
that."
That's true. So they felt that it was important. Joan said, "We'd have difficulty proving that the experience occurred, but all you have to do is go into those hills to realize that an army of those things could live there undetected. She's saying we all live in Podunk. In case anybody wondered what that all translated to.
Podunk.
Hillbillies. There was no way to prove it, and the officers just considered it a prank and never looked into it.
Oh, those darn ladies. They was sipping little moonshine.
God. 1 year later.
I mean, come on. If that's the first you've heard of this, wouldn't you be like, what? Huh? What are you even smoking, girls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. 1 year later. I'll do that again for dramatic effect.
Stop laughing like that. Every one of your laughs is different.
I know.
You don't laugh the same way.
I know. I'm a barrel of giggles.
Get it? There's another laugh.
Yep. Okay. The Harrison family, which is, this is the biggest, most popular story of Momo. Okay. They lived at the end of Allen Street, which is a dead-end road at the foot of a heavily wooded area known as Marzoff Hill.
Ooh, I like how serious you get. What?
In Louisiana, Missouri.
Oh, there it is.
It was very common to see wildlife here, but what they witnessed on the afternoon of July 11th, 1972, was not really your run-of-the-mill Missouri wildlife.
Okay.
Or is it? I mean, maybe it is. You'll see we have a lot of stories. It might be normal by now. 8-year-old Terry Harrison and his 5-year-old brother Wally were outside playing behind their home. They heard a low, throaty growl. When Terry looked up, he saw a huge, hulking figure standing approximately 15 feet from them. That's close.
So close.
What he saw was tall and stood upright like a person, but it was covered in long black hair, so long on its head that it covered its face. There was no neck, and its head was very large and pumpkin-shaped.
This totally sounds like a cartoon character.
It does. The odor coming from the creature was terrible. Smelly John.
B.O.
Terry saw something red splattered on the creature and noticed that it was carrying what looked like a dead dog.
Oh, good grief.
The little boy screamed and ran for the house, and Wally fell in close behind him.
Come on, Wally.
What's wrong? Where are we going? Their 15-year-old sister, who was cleaning the sink at the time, looked out the window upon hearing her brother's screams and saw the creature too.
Oh.
She watched it for a few moments until it turned and ran back into the woods. She told reporters it was 6 or 7 feet tall, black and hairy. It stood like a man, but it didn't look like one.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't look like a bear. Doris quickly locked the doors and called her mother at work. Betty Harrison called her husband Edgar at work also and told him to hurry home because something weird was going on and she was really worried about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar arrived home within 30 minutes and calmed the children before searching the area behind their home. The only thing that he found was an area of flattened brush where the creature was standing and what he thought could have been footprints with black hairs around them. Once he was sure there was nothing there, he asked Terry for more details. Terry told him the story again, saying the creature was weaving back and forth and had black hair hanging down all over. He couldn't see its face. He said that the dog had red stuff on it, which Edgar assumed was blood. He was unable to find any trace of blood in the area, though, and he wondered if it might have actually been something else. Terry said he thought the creature was carrying a dead dog that was also black in color and had 4 legs.
Wow.
Edgar wondered if maybe that wasn't a dog. What if it was a baby?
Ooh, now things are Momo. Getting serious. Oh, baby Momo.
Yeah.
Not carrying a baby.
Not like a wank baby, but like a baby, monster baby.
Wow.
Shortly after this incident, one of the Harrison's dogs became violently ill and vomited for hours.
Ooh.
At around 1:30 a.m., Edgar heard the popping of brush behind the house as if something or someone or something was running through the woods. Four neighbors came to help search the woods, but nothing was found that night. The next night, there were more noises, and eight neighbors helped with a search that also turned up nothing.
So weird that they're not finding anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like something this big would have to leave behind some kind of something, clues, right?
Yeah. On Friday, July 14th, the Harrisons were hosting the weekly prayer meeting at their home, which 30 people attended.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Around 9 p.m., a lot of people had gone and there were only about 12 people remaining, and the group had moved outside. It's July, so it's warm. They saw several balls of light.
Weird.
This is where it gets real weird. They moved from east to west just over the trees in the yard that was neighboring the Harrisons. And then two others moved down toward the school. No one could figure out what kind of lights they were, where they were coming from. Later, when everybody had left, Edgar was sitting outside playing his guitar, chillaxing, when he heard something. Edgar told reporters what he heard. "I heard something that sounded like a loud growl. It got louder and louder and kept coming closer. The rest of the family heard it too, and they ran from the house and got into the car. And they just start begging Edgar, please get in the car. Take us away from here. We're scared."
Mm-hmm.
So he finally got in and leaves their home. But they didn't make it very far before they come across something pretty interesting in the road. Geez. Edgar described it like this. "Over 40 people were coming toward my house, some of them carrying guns. They had heard the same noise we did."
Wow.
Yeah. "Most of them had also seen the mysterious balls of light." Edgar stopped the car, but before anything was said, Betty screamed out the window, "Here it comes!"
Wow.
And the crowd ran, turned and ran in terror. Even
with the guns and everything.
Yeah. Screw it.
You guys are on your own. I'm out.
Police Chief Shelby Ward received two calls to report this occurrence, one from Edgar himself and another from Maxine Miner. He sent two officers, John Whitaker and Jerry Floyd, to check out the situation. They searched the area surrounding the Harrison home, but they didn't find or hear anything.
Weird.
Once the police were gone, Edgar and several neighbors took to Marsoff Hill to search more. They located a dilapidated building that would make a very good hiding place for a creature like this.
Mm-hmm.
The interior reeked with a pungent odor that Edgar described as like a moldy horse or the smell of garbage.
Ugh.
A moldy horse.
What is a moldy horse smell like?
I don't want to know.
Does a horse get moldy?
No. I don't think so.
Like,
I think
what?
He's meaning, like, imagine a horse that's got moldy.
I don't. Okay.
Yeah.
I think a horse that's wet is stinky enough. You know, like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, moving on.
They searched for a few more hours, but the dense brush was too rugged to cover with flashlights, and they were returned home.
They had their chance, and they ran. They blew it.
Yeah. Well, I think that I've read a couple stories that said that it was just a joke when she yelled, "Here it comes."
Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But still, they thought they had their chance. I mean, they didn't know any better. Edgar, worried about the safety of his family with the dog-eating beast and a group of armed vigilantes out searching for it, decided to take his family away from their home.
Mm-hmm.
They packed enough belongings for a brief time and left to stay in a restaurant that they owned in another town until everything blew over or somebody caught this thing.
Mm-hmm.
The entire town was terrified. And soon, more reports start to come to light. Mrs. Clarence Lee, who lived a block and a half away, said she had heard a terrible growling sound the same afternoon the Harrison children had seen the creature. She said it was carrying on something terrible. A local farmer said that a dog he had recently gotten for his daughter had been missing for a week and thought it could have been the one that the beast was seen carrying.
Shoot.
A puppy. Another resident, Pat Howard, saw a dark man-like figure cross a road near the hill at approximately 5 a.m. on the night all the neighbors were searching the woods. When do these people sleep?
I don't know.
On July 18th, two boys were hiking on Marsoff Hill when they spotted the creature standing in the woods. It growled and they fled in fear and reported it to the police. They reported that it had a foul stench and resembled a bear. Probably was a bear.
But we don't know that.
We don't. A local woman told Channel 7 reporters she had definitely seen a black, long-haired thing cross the highway into Louisiana, the town. Another resident reported to Chief Ward that he saw the thing near Highway 79, and it appeared to be carrying a sheep or a dog in its mouth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's gotta eat. At least it's not eating humans.
Not my puppies.
Ew.
That's as bad as eating humans.
That's valid.
Many reported the foul stench while walking near Marsoff Hill. Mr. Houchins caught a whiff of the scent while something was thrashing about on Marsoff Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Ward was skeptical, but he also realized he had quite a big problem here in his town.
Yeah.
Even if it was a prankster or a bear, someone was very likely to get hurt.
Right.
Especially with the growing number of citizens who had armed themselves and taken to the woods hunting anything tall, dark, and hairy.
Mm.
He told reporters, "There is something out there and it has the people of this town scared to death. I get about 10 calls a night about it from good, reliable citizens. I've been trying to convince people it's probably a bear or a practical joker in a gorilla costume, but I'll have to admit it could be something else. The more I keep hearing about it from people, the more difficult it is for me to be skeptical."
Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so maybe one or two people making up stuff, but when I have multiple people coming to me.
And like, they're scared enough they're getting their guns and heading to the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ward decided the best course of action was to organize an official search to help put the people's minds at ease.
Mm-hmm.
The group of 20 men included 8 police officers, State Conservation Officer Gus Artis, Edgar Harrison, 4 out-of-state reporters, and some local volunteers. Oof. Artis, who is the conservation officer, was leading the operation. He said, "We want to be able to say that we have made a complete search."
So kind of make it organized.
Mm-hmm. The search went on for 3 hours, which doesn't sound very good to me. The men spread out 30 feet apart and combed through the brush looking for footprints, hair, or the remains of dead dogs. They came up on several landowners and mixed reviews from them. One of these landowners told them they were all crazy and to get the hell off his land. The search came up empty. Nada.
Zilch.
Yeah. Maxine Miner, who seems to be quite the gossip, said this was because they searched at the wrong time of day. If you remember, she's one of the people who called that night and reported the growls to the police.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she had heard the creature many times, and it was always between 10 and 10:30 p.m., she said it started as a low growl and ended in a high-pitched scream.
Every night? Or just that one
time? Just many times.
Mm-hmm.
Hours after the search ended, Edgar and 40 other people heard something growling and roaring near George Miner's house.
Oh. Here we go.
His son, Lynn, said it was probably a wild hog or a wild cat. Maybe even a prank, but he couldn't be sure.
Mm-hmm.
He agreed something weird was going on, and Marzoff Hill was becoming a dangerous place with so many people running around scared with guns.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be out there.
Nope. On July 20th, sorry, what did you say?
I would fire at anything that moved, I think, if I got too worked up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know you would.
No, I'd throw the gun at it and run. That's absolutely what I would do.
Oh my gosh.
A gun in my hands would be of no help use whatsoever.
Here, take it!
On July 20th, Richard Crow, a reporter for a Chicago newspaper and Fate magazine, arrived in Louisiana with Lauren Smith, an attorney from Skokie, Illinois. I'm not really sure what this Smith guy is going to do. He just kind of hangs out with them as mm-hmm. they go around. But Richard Crow is a huge reporter on this. They went straight to the police station and were escorted to the Harrison home, arriving there about 9:30 p.m. Who just goes to somebody's house at 9:30 p.m.?
I don't know.
Like, that's a good way to get shot. Edgar was there with his daughter Doris and her boyfriend Richard Bliss. While the family was still staying away at their restaurant, Edgar would come down and see if he could find anything. His house had become like Monster Hunter Central. Like,
he was really into it, I'm yeah. sure.
It's like the bunker on Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
Anyway,
there's a different laugh.
Well, okay. Edgar told the reporter the full story up to that point, and he showed them the spot where his children had seen the creature. Crow said there was a circular spot in the brush where leaves and twigs had been stripped from the branches.
Branches.
Edgar and Richard led them up a path behind the house onto Marsoff Hill, just a short distance. There they showed them the remains of an old garbage dump, which seemed to have been recently disturbed. Tin cans and bottles had been dug up, as well as the graves of two dogs. Their bones were scattered about.
Aww.
They continued up the hill, which became steeper, more dense. The men located two impressions in the ground. One was over 10 inches long and 5 inches wide and resembled a human footprint. The other was about 5 inches long and curved like a handprint.
Interesting.
The ground was dry and hard. Crow estimated it would take at least 200 pounds of pressure to create the impressions.
How do you know that?
I was going to say, because a reporter knows something like that. Next, they were shown the shack where Edgar and others had smelled the foul smell during one of those first searches.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pile of leaves and other debris in the corner, which they believed could have been a bed.
They're just throwing shit together now.
As they were discussing this, Edgar's dog, who had been following along, suddenly ran off. Crow said in that instant they smelled, quote, an overwhelming stench that could only be described as resembling rotten flesh or foul stagnant water.
Ew.
Yas. They heard several dogs barking nearby, and Edgar knew it was the monster. The reporters prepared their cameras and searched the woods with their flashlights, but no monster emerged.
Mm-mm.
After a few minutes, the odor dissipated and the night fell silent. The party returned to the house and continued to watch and listen until 3 a.m. The terrible odor wafted through the air twice more, but they never saw anything.
Hmm.
A few days later, another local came forward with his story of encountering the creature. Ellis Miner. He was a 63-year-old toothless fisherman that had lived along the Mississippi since he was 6 years old.
Toothless? Does it really say toothless?
It did say toothless.
Oh my gosh.
He knew everything that walked, slithered, or swam in that region.
I mean, they're one of those people.
Exactly. He reported that on July 21st, while sitting in front of his house on River Road, his bird dog began to growl. The dog rarely growled at anything, so he flipped on his flashlight and aimed in the direction the dog was staring. This is what he said. I shone the light right there about 20 feet up the road. It was standing there, hair black as coal. I couldn't see its eyes or face. It had hair nearly down to its chest. He described it as at least 6 feet tall, with hair covering its whole body, standing upright on two legs right in the center of the road.
Wow.
He continued. As soon as I threw the light on it, it whirled and took off. It's the first time I ever seen an ugly looking thing like that. He said if his dog hadn't growled, the creature likely would have walked right through his yard and to the river, which runs parallel to River Road near Miner's home. When the light hit it, it turned back and ran across the railroad tracks and into the woods. The reporters ask him what he would have done if it had come walking into his yard, to which he replied, I don't know which would have run faster, me or the dog.
That's a good one.
How cute. Ellis Miner was highly respected in Louisiana. As John Whitaker, one of the officers that had reported to the Harrison home, said, I've known Miner all my life, and I've never known him to make up anything. Mm-hmm. Something just might be up in these hills.
So now he's starting to believe.
Yeah. A young teenager, Tommy McCormick, claimed to have seen the creature. He said it looked just as Mr. Harrison said. I'm calling bullshit on Tommy. Mm-hmm. His mother had kept him from reporting to police for fear they would think he was crazy, but he was allowed to speak to reporters.
Oh my gosh.
Because that's all right.
That's not crazy at all. Yeah.
He said, maybe I am crazy, but I wouldn't go into those woods again for anything. I think he could have given his own version of how the monster looked and came off a little bit more credible.
Instead of, oh, like...
Oh, yeah, it was like that one guy said. Yeah, it's just like that. Mm-hmm. But tell me about it. Nah, he told you. I don't have to. Okay. On the night of July 29th, Edgar Harrison had taken several local college students onto Marzoff Hill to explore and search for evidence of the creature. They were near the top of the hill when they heard what sounded like a gunshot from the road at the base of the hill. They rushed toward the sound, and when they got close to the road, they heard an old man's voice say, "You boys stay out of these woods."
Oh.
It came from a cluster of trees no more than 20 feet wide and 50 feet deep. They searched that area but found no one.
That's interesting.
Yeah. A nearby farmer, Freddie Robbins, discovered mysterious footprints on his farm 8 miles south of town. The prints were oval-shaped with what looked like three long, thin toes. Gross. On August 3rd, Mr. and Mrs. Bill Sudarth, who lived northwest of town, discovered more strange footprints. Early that morning, Mrs. Sudarth noticed her dogs acting nervously. Shortly after, she heard a high-pitched howl very close. Well, that's the Ozark Howler lady.
Get them right.
Wrong monster. Her husband, good old Bill, he grabbed a flashlight and went out to investigate. He found no creature, but he did locate four large three-toed prints in the muddy ground of his garden. Huh. He did not recognize them as any animal that he knew of.
Mm-hmm.
He called his buddy Clyde Penrod and asked him to come take a look. Penrod had seen those tracks at the Robbins farm, so he was very interested in studying these, and he headed over with his plaster for casting.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. He examined the tracks and was completely puzzled. It was 20 to 25 feet from the tracks to anything else. I cannot understand how they were made. There were no tracks leading to or from the garden. It had rained most of the previous night, so this would have been impossible, even for someone trying to fake, because there would have been footprints to them.
To it. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. However,
Oh.
There had to be footprints to them, because did they see them from 20 feet away?
Maybe they just knew which prince was theirs. Maybe.
Penrod made a cast copy of the footprints, deciding, however they had come to be there, they should be preserved. Regardless.
That's pretty smart. I would never thought of that.
I would have.
I know.
Woman, grab my plaster.
So weird. Yeah, we have that laying around.
We do.
Shut up.
In the afternoon on August 4th, four boys were fishing north of town at Salt River when they saw something large and dark swimming across the water. The boys, Ernest Shade, 16, Rossi Shade, 7, Lewis Harrison, 13, and Fred Harrison, 10.
Aww.
Sons of Edgar. Mm-hmm. He's got a shitload of kids. That's 5 so far that we've gotten to know here. They were fishing for catfish, around 4 p.m. when Ernest spotted the object. He didn't pay it much attention at first, but I guess he thought it was an object. But then it pointed it out when he realized that it was moving.
Mm-hmm.
Fred told a reporter the object was moving in a definite line against the current upstream. It appeared to be an animal with a bigger head than a human and shoulders sticking out of the water. The boys thought it might have been a bear, but it was too far off to be sure. They watched it until it was out of sight, and then they decided it was best to leave.
Get the heck out of Dodge, whether it was a bear or Bigfoot or whatever.
Yeah. Someone reported seeing this beast at a private landing field close to Louisiana and also at the nearby Herr Field, and the FAA, that's right, the Federal Aviation Administration, instructed, I was like, what is it? I don't remember. I do now. They instructed the airport officials and pilots to be on the lookout for the creature or any unidentified objects.
That's
the FAA. Good. Okay. Wanted to drive that home for you.
I mean, you said that at the beginning of that conversation.
Town was becoming increasingly more chaotic for Chief Ward. The locals were hellbent on hunting down the creature, and reporters were flooding in to cover the story, which only made things even worse because it got even more attention and brought more people in. News of the mysterious creature spread like wildfire, and it didn't take long for it to make it to the United Press International.
Holy crap.
It was reported in the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, the National Enquirer, and even the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal actually did an article on the economic impact of the town because of the tourism that Momo brought.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah. There were several names given to the creature when it first hit the papers, including Pike County Monster, Mystery Beast, Hairy Biped, and The Thing. But the one that stuck,
Momo,
was Momo. A clever play on Missouri Monster.
I like it.
Our Widow Momo.
Widow?
Our big Momo.
There you go.
It sounds so cute and cuddly, but
but stinky.
But it's stinky, and growly, and pumpkin-headed, dog-eating.
Oh.
Yeah.
Meow.
It doesn't sound like a Momo. The coverage brought in scores of visitors who were curious about the monster. The town was overwhelmed by the sudden wave of tourism, but it quickly adapted. Restaurants started selling monster burgers.
Of course.
Stores were having monster sales. The hotels were full of curious visitors, and the town was booming from this surge of tourism.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Not all visitors were just adventure seekers, though.
Uh-oh.
About 20 men showed up at a local hotel after reading the stories about the monster. They asked the waitress where the hill was and said they were going monster hunting after breakfast. Luckily, there was a police officer there, and he overheard this, and the men were ordered to leave town before they could leave on their hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Monster hunters quickly became a problem for law enforcement. Dozens of armed men swarmed Marzoff Hill looking to shoot anything that moved and was big and hairy. So some of the locals probably need to stay out of there.
No kidding.
They trapped trampled crops.
Trapped?
Trapped them. No, they wanted to trap. They did not. They trampled farmers' crops, tore down fences, and trespassing on private property on more than one occasion.
No respect.
Pete. Yeah. Gunshots could be heard.
We're struggling. They could
be heard. Gunshots could be heard from the woods at all hours. And the residents wondered every time, is it the monster? Is it somebody's livestock? Is it somebody? What's been shot?
Yeah.
Two hunters actually mistook a bull for the monster and shot it dead. The furious dairy farmer called the police, but it was impossible for them to know which of the psychos had done it, and so there really wasn't anything that Chief Ward could do. Ward was concerned that somebody was going to get killed. Not only were there tons of people running around the woods shooting, but the woods were filled with, we know this, venomous snakes, caves, cliffs, loose boulders.
And these city slickers are coming down there and not knowing how to handle it all.
Any number of these could be very harmful to somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, or does even. And so Chief Ward ordered Marzoff Hill off limits. They placed roadblock signs to make sure that the roads leading to the hill were completely shut off. Nobody could get up there.
It's a good move. Yes.
Hunters weren't the only ones coming, though. Paranormal investigators also flocked to the area.
Oh, yeah.
Of these were Hayden Hughes and Daniel Garcia of the International Flying Unidentified Flying Object Bureau in Oklahoma City.
Wow.
Yes. Bigfoot-type creatures are often associated with UFO sightings. I mean...
There was those lights at the beginning.
I know. So sue me, people, because there's so many people who are like, Bigfoot's not related to aliens. Okay. People think you're crazy if you think of either one as being real, so let's not argue over if they get along or not.
Or if they come from the same thing.
Yeah. Witnesses had reported those strange lights in the sky, so they thought they needed to investigate. They first went to see the alleged footprints near a filling station in town, and then they visited the Harrison home, or Grand Central Station. When interviewed by a reporter of the United Press International and a film crew from a station in Columbia, Missouri, Hughes mentioned something no one had yet. He claimed the creature had glowing orange eyes.
Oh, this is new.
Yes. This spun the story in an even stranger angle, though the reports from those who had clearly seen it said they couldn't see the beast's eyes because its face was covered by its hair. So I think he's just adding a little bit of
spice.
Yeah. Because he's the only one who said that.
Yeah.
And he hasn't even seen the thing. So whatever. But glowing orange eyes. I mean, come on. You got to have something glowing, right? Something strange was going on in Missouri, and it may have been going on much longer than the residents of Louisiana, Missouri realized. Edgar Harrison had been told a story about a young man seeing a big, tall, black, ugly thing near an abandoned school building in July 1971. The same month, those two ladies, Joan and Mary, had their encounter.
That's interesting.
No one knew of those ladies' encounter because it had never been publicized.
Oh, so this isn't just a hop on the train type thing.
The sighting happened to be near where the ladies saw the creature and just 2 miles from Marsoff Hill.
Wow.
Going back further is a story told to journalist and author John Green, who collected Bigfoot reports. In the summer of 1970, a year before Joan and Mary's encounter, a sighting of an unknown creature was reported to the Pike County Sheriff's Department. Interesting, huh?
Very.
So, less than 2 weeks before the Harrison encounter on June 30th, we're back in 1972, there was another encounter that was documented by John Schlusler.
Oh.
Schlusler. He isn't just some whack job. He's an aerospace engineer, and also he was the assistant director of MUFON. Do you know what that is?
No.
Mutual UFO Network.
Well, look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to look that up?
No, they're still going.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Two men, Tom and Vaughn, they were fishing on the Kuver River, and they noticed something wading into the middle of the river about 250 feet upstream from them. It was big and hairy. At first, they thought it was just a man with long hair, since they could only see its shoulders and head, but they realized it wasn't after watching it for a time. When it emerged from the river onto the bank, one of the men, ran up the bank. Screw it, man. The other stayed behind and watched it.
Well, he's brave.
Yeah. And it started in his direction. When it came within 150 feet of him, he too ran in fear.
Mm-hmm.
He looked back and saw that the creature was also scrambling up the hillside as though they had startled it with its commotion, with their commotion. They found a ranger and reported it. That same ranger had taken a report earlier in the day from a couple fishing on the same river. They had heard grunts and groans as if someone or something was in pain, and they left to find the ranger for fear of their own safety.
Mm-hmm.
The same day.
Poor Momo. He just wants a bath.
Yeah. Since this was all like, okay, too weird to be a coincidence, he goes back to the spot with them. And they're looking for any signs to find out what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
All they found was a large 3-toed footprint in the mud at the spot where the thing had emerged from the river.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It was only later that this was connected to the sighting in Louisiana, as this was 30 miles south.
Oh.
Connected by heavy woods and cornfields, which ran along the west bank of the Missouri or Mississippi River.
Hmm. Do you think there's multiple, or do you think this one's traveled that far?
I think there's multiple. A woman came forward to report that her husband had become terrified when he saw a large shaggy creature come up out of the water as he was fishing near Foley, Missouri. She said they'd all given him a hard time over it until hearing the Momo reports. Foley is also 30 miles south of Louisiana and just east of the river where the two men saw the creature.
Staying close to that river, isn't it?
Just outside the town of O'Fallon, 20 miles south of Foley, two teenage girls claimed to have seen a bear-like creature walking upright near a wooded area on July 24th. All in the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This was just around sunset. A short distance away, in New Haven, a girl claimed to see a gray-colored creature walking upright in a field during the early morning hours just 4 days before.
Dang.
Mr. Windorf, the farmer whose bull had been shot by ignorant people, he had his own Momo story. Just days before the Harrison encounter, he was awakened one morning when his dogs began to bark like crazy dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy dogs.
Crazy.
It was around 5 a.m. and that was out of the norm. So he decided to go check out the situation. What's going on? When he opened the door, his dogs were immediately at his feet, cowering in fear.
Aww.
Which was also out of character for his dogs. He stepped outside and noticed how eerie and calm it was.
That is freaky.
Then he smelled an odor he described as reminding him of firecrackers. That's sulfur. It's a demon.
Stop.
Okay, I'm done. He looked around and noticed a dark humanoid figure heading across a field in the direction of the river. It walked with an odd shuffle and resembled something like a very old man wearing a fur overcoat. Just walking around at night.
With some odor.
He ran back inside to get his gun, planning to fire a couple shots in the air to scare off whoever or whatever was trespassing on his land. But when he returned outside, he no longer saw anything. Later in the day, he drove down to the spot where the creature had been heading and found a strange set of tracks. He put the whole thing out of his mind, telling no one but his wife, until the report surfaced later and he thought it could have been the same thing.
So he was just keeping it to himself.
Yeah.
Didn't want no media or anything.
Well, let's talk about that. Because not everybody was just forthcoming with their stories because of how people are treated.
Yep.
And Bill Riley was one of these people. He held on to his story for fear of ridicule for 30 years.
Oh my God.
Finally telling his story to his future wife before submitting it to the Bigfoot Field Research Center.
30 years.
On the evening of July 15th, 1972, that is 4 days after Harrison's, he and a friend went out looking to party. Yes. When they got out of town to this party place, it turned out to not be so great. So they decided to leave. Or he did, at least. Mm-hmm. Bill took off walking on his own toward Route 70. He had been walking about half an hour when the wind shifted and he caught a whiff of a terrible odor.
That's creepy.
Yeah. He said it smelled something like a cross between a skunk and rotten flesh.
Ugh, that's awful.
Uh-huh. He continued on, but he noticed someone walking about 300 feet away in the trees beside the road. He said, I thought it was kind of late for a farmer to be bringing in his cows as they were in a big hurry to get away from him. So the cows are running from this. Mm-hmm. And about that time, I heard a god-awful blood-curdling scream, which I thought was the cattle screaming.
Oh, my.
I've never heard a cattle scream.
I didn't know they did.
No. I mean, I've heard them like in labor and everything, and I've never heard...
I don't what even I think would, I've heard that.
I would never call it that.
They don't scream? They just like moan, maybe?
Well, yeah, they have a scream, but not what... I wouldn't describe it that way. Huh. And I think you would know, like, oh, that's a cow.
Yeah.
Bill stopped walking and looked at the farmer, which had also stopped and was now staring right at him. See? If it had glowing orange eyes, he would know it wasn't a farmer.
Just wouldn't we all?
A little creeped out, Bill started walking again, picking up his pace. The farmer started walking also and matched his pace. Bill said, as I continued east, he matched my every move and I would stop and he would stop and stare when I did.
That's creepy.
The cows were gone by now and the stench was getting stronger. What I thought was a man angled his way closer to me.
Ooh. I hate that this thing is not scared of you.
Uh-huh.
Like Bigfoot supposedly is.
Or like, you know, doesn't try to stay away from you. Like maybe Bigfoot's not scared of us, but he's like, you guys are way too stupid for me to worry about. So Bill stopped once more to look more closely and could now see that it was no man following him. It was a very tall, humanoid creature covered in thick, matted hair.
Ugh.
Then it started toward him.
And there he is, all alone, yeah, in the dark.
I took off running as fast as I could for the next light down the road. It was a long way off, and as I looked over my shoulder, it stepped over a 4-foot-high barbed wire fence without touching the wire.
Oh my gosh.
I ran for the faraway farmhouse as fast as I could go. My adrenaline was going, and I was scared out of my wits.
Yeah.
As Bill got to the farm, the dogs in a fenced yard were barking ferociously. Bill jumped the fence and ran through the dogs, jumping up onto the porch.
Let me in.
Yeah. He pounded on the door. The homeowner was there and he could see him inside the house, but he would not open the door. Which, can you blame him?
Yeah. Who do you want, you psycho?
Yeah. So he ran to a nearby tree and hid behind it. And when he looked back across the farm, he saw the creature retreating back toward where it had come from and the dogs chasing it.
Wow.
So like the dogs had scared it.
Dogs saved that guy's life.
Yeah. Around that same time, there was another man, another encounter, let's say, that happened near Potosi.
Oh.
John Mayer.
Mayer.
John Mayer. Probably not the same one. And another man had taken a group of kids for an overnight camping trip.
Oh, no.
Sometime after 11 p.m.
Oh, no.
Not the kids.
And they never came back.
Stop.
Sometime after 11 p.m., after getting all the kiddos down for the night, they sat down by the dying fire to relax a little bit before going to bed. They're sitting there talking, watching the fire die.
Sounds
and
perfect.
Yeah. They heard rustling behind a large bush, and they thought there was an animal in that bush. So they decided they were going to split, each go around each one side and meet in the middle in the back and flush it out, right? So they both start moving around the bush, but they get like halfway around it and something takes off running. And it sounded like a person. They could definitely tell it was running on 2 feet. And they thought, somebody's messing with us. Mm-hmm. Because they were from a local place. So like somebody's come out here to mess with us. And so they decided to chase it. They said it sounded like it was very large. And when it took off running from them, it only ran a short distance and stopped.
Oh.
And so they were like, it's on.
We get
so
this guy.
They pursued the figure downhill as fast as they could go, but they couldn't catch up to it. They were cut and scraped all up from the thick brush, but this thing moved perfect through the brush.
Oh.
When they hit the bottom of the hill, the trees opened up to a clearing, and the creature, well, he put it into overdrive and just was gone. And they said that was way too fast. It couldn't have been a human. These guys mm-hmm. were track stars. And they couldn't even try it. Couldn't come close to catching it. So these people are runners of track, too. They're not just like mm-hmm. marathoners. They're runners. And not that that's not a runner, but they're fast. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't even come close. They said there's no way this was a human. Because it ran way too fast.
I know,
and
baby.
The way that it got through the brush so easily when they were like beat all to hell was insane. There's no way. John said that the thing stunk to high heaven like a wet horse, an animal kind of smell. The guys told a few people afterward and they were met with ridicule.
Of course.
So they just stopped talking about it.
Yeah.
Then about a year after that, they heard the stories of Momo.
Oh. And now they're like, oh, we told you.
Yeah.
What, Bodie? Do you like? Are you scared of Momo? Hmm.
I love you.
Can you not hear him?
Yeah. He's like, Mom, it eats dogs. Don't worry, Bo. You can take Momo.
Yeah.
So, not just the sightings. Let's talk about something else. Okay. The very interesting thing about this case is not just people saw this big, giant, hairy thing, but there's also a lot of other phenomenon that's mm-hmm. happening at the same time.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty interesting.
Other phenomena.
What?
Plural.
Phenomena.
Not just one phenomenon. Other phenomena. Okay, so most of the story, most of the story, it's about a Bigfoot creature, but there's tidbits of this weird phenomena that's just sprinkled through these stories. Okay, so we're gonna pick those out.
Okay,
strange lights,
mm-hmm.
the disembodied voices,
mm-hmm.
Edgar Harrison and the group of prayer or the prayer group witnessed the balls of light. Remember, mm-hmm. there's also more to the growling.
Okay.
Edgar said the growling was always preceded by a ringing sound. There would be an especially loud ringing and then the growling would start. So like,
that's crazy.
I guess his phone rang and then he got on it and was talking.
Oh, whatever.
You were like really listening, thinking I was onto something at first.
Yeah. And then that stupid stuff came out of your mouth.
Sometimes I have my moments. On the night of July 26th, witnesses reported seeing a fireball land or hover atop a large tree near the railroad crossing near where Ellis Minor claimed to have seen the creature. They described two red spurts of light that shot out from it before it zoomed away. The next three nights in a row, witnesses, including the Harrisons and Shade families, saw more colored lights above a bluff at the end of River Road. The lights appeared to be signaling back and forth to each other. Edgar Harrison's sister, Lois Shade, estimated them to be the size of an apple. On July 30th.
It's the size of an apple? That's not very big to see.
Uh-uh. I think she's wrong. Well, dear. On July 30th, the Shade family saw a strange light or craft hovering over a thicket at the top of another bluff.
So a lot of lights going on.
Ernest Shade, Lois' husband, said it was orange at first and then it changed to red and gray. Lois said that it was disc-shaped and had lighted windows.
Huh.
It remained there, hovering for several hours, and then suddenly gave off a red glow and went straight up into the air and disappeared.
Weird.
Right?
I mean, all this in the same area?
Yeah. At the same time, this is all going on.
So maybe the aliens are tag team with Momos.
Maybe. Oh.
Maybe.
Uh-oh.
Bigfoot and Momos are grandpa aliens, and that's what they turn into when they get so old.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go with that. Grandpa aliens. Here's some more weirdness, okay?
I'm sorry.
You're fine. This is some of the coolest part, maybe, to me. Pat Howard and a friend were camping in Harrison's backyard looking for Momo on the night of August 5th. The two men sat sipping coffee and talking when suddenly they heard, or listening, they weren't talking, they heard a strange voice that said, "I'll take a cup of your coffee." They searched the area and found no one.
That's crazy.
Remember,
creepy.
Edgar and the college students had heard a strange disembodied voice when they were searching the hill. And the stench of Momo.
See, that's the only thing that's common.
Yeah.
But, well, the growl is too, but not like the voices. That's only a couple.
Yeah. Texas sailors were searching the area when they reportedly saw a small glowing light that silently exploded and then was followed by the same stench.
Whoa. Oh, gosh.
As fall fell on Louisiana, the craziness of Momo seemed to die down. There were no new sightings, save for one trucker who swore he hit the creature in September, and the UFO activity went away as well. Many believe the footprints to be fakes and wonder how much really happened. Edgar Harrison and his family had taken the brunt of the action and the ridicule. He had taken leave from his job and exclusively hunted the monster.
Wow.
He had lost weight and was mentally and physically exhausted.
See, I don't think if somebody was making up a story that they would put themselves through that.
Yeah. He welcomed the calm after the storm. For years following the incident, the town held the Momo Days Festival and embraced the lighthearted side of their local monster, which I think we need to start that up again.
Just saying.
In 1973, Six Flags in St. Louis added a Momo the Monster ride.
Did they really?
Yeah. It didn't look like Momo the Monster. It looked like a giant octopus that was black.
Why?
I don't.
What body of water is the octopus going in Missouri?
I'm pretty sure that they had this ride and then they saw all this craziness and like, meh.
Let's slap that.
We don't know what else to name. Let's name Momo the Monster. So that's the story. Whether you believe it or not, Momo is a mainstay of Missouri folklore and legends.
That's a good one. A lot of people jumped on board with them.
Yeah. There's so many stories. And like I said, the most fascinating part about this whole story to me is the thing that nobody talks about. And it's this like accompanying activity. It's the disembodied voices. Twice people heard numerous people. There weren't just like the one time there were two men. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the other time, at least 21 people heard mm-hmm. this voice. What? That's crazy.
It is.
And then the lights and all that going on. But also I have something to point out. This monster is roaming around. Everybody's outside looking for him. Is that why we see all these lights and stuff? Because we're paying attention all of a sudden?
Maybe so.
But then the lights went away. So I guess that blows my idea away.
Truth. I don't know. I haven't really thought of it that much.
Well, I just told you about it.
So. Well, I mean, I feel like these day and ages, less people are out there seeing it. But there's more cameras and stuff mm-hmm. whenever somebody does see it. Mm-hmm. So
precisely.
I know. Look at me go. Better than the grandfather alien idea.
No, I think that it really lends to the idea that everything is connected.
You mean like paranormal and cryptid and all that?
Yeah. Like, what if everything's not just this different kind of phenomenon? Maybe it is all connected to each other.
Yeah, and just throw, like, human beings in with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just all trying to figure it out.
We don't know what the hell's going on.
No, I'm bumfuzzled by all of the activity.
That's why you like it so much, because mm-hmm. you don't know. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things you just don't know.
Yeah. But, like, to go to Louisiana and pull out a spirit box and see what happens.
I wonder if anybody's done that.
I don't know.
It's kind of sketchy. Mm-hmm. I would be scared, I think.
But also, I mean, the activity is completely stopped. So, I don't know.
What if you made it start back up?
That'd be cool. I'd be like, hey, Momo.
They would hate you.
We miss you. Come back.
Bad idea. Don't do it. I'm not going.
So, if Momo was back in Louisiana, you wouldn't go and try to see what was going on? I'd be real interested.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd be that interested to put my life in danger to see a fuzzy animal.
He never killed anybody.
Or person. Or fuzzy thing.
Like, I want to go sit out there in Edgar Harrison's backyard and listen and wait for that bad smell to come.
You know,
just to witness
it. My fat butt can't run that fast, so I don't know if I'm down with this.
I didn't plan on running anywhere.
If I seen that, I would run.
You know what? There's strength in numbers. If we had enough people,
we would be like those people with the guns and run. And I would be last place because...
We'll take Bodhi. He would protect us.
Yeah.
Or we'd feed him to him and we could get away.
Stop!
So
I think you made up for our missing out.
I hope so. Did you enjoy it?
I did.
I know you don't know much about it.
I don't.
But I dug into this one and man, it was so much fun. I loved it. Loved it. So no new reviews this week.
Well, we gotta put out episodes to get new reviews.
I heard Terry talking to herself earlier. She was like, I'm gonna check the reviews. And she was like, dang it, no new reviews. And like, before she finished saying that, she went, well, I guess you have to do something to get reviews.
Legit. I mean, can't ask for reviews if we don't have nothing out there.
Yeah. But the fact is you carried on that whole conversation with yourself was hilarious.
I'm glad you shared that with everybody.
So next week we're going to do a murder case.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We're going to do a true crime case. I always say murder, and maybe we'll do like a bank robbery sometime.
Bank robbery?
Probably not. Boring, but...
You have nothing on the calendar but the word April.
You knew
Easter.
You renewed my calendar. Now there's nothing on it.
Well, it was March's calendar.
Oh, I thought it might have still been January.
Actually, it was February.
Great. Perfect.
So I at least got the month of April and Easter up there.
Yeah.
But nothing else is added.
So we'll do a true crime next week, like I say. And then I think there's a couple places I'm wanting to go visit, ghosty places.
Ghosty.
So hopefully we can take a drive soon and go and see these places before we decide to cover them. Like, I know the stories, but I want to see them before. So
I'm ready.
And they're close. And yeah, I mean,
are they decent roads so you don't get sick? Story time. I wanted to take Shayla to look at campgrounds to go camping this summer. We made it 30 miles outside of town and she's already like puny and gross and sick to her tummy.
Like
and...
about to say, pull it over. I'm going to have to throw up.
So this is the woman who wants to go on road trips and all this good stuff. Not happening.
I just have to be medicated.
That's no fun. You sleep the whole time.
That's true.
So no road trip for you.
I'm sorry.
No ghosty hunts.
All the ghosty hunts. I'll fly everywhere.
Just kidding. Oh, good time.
All right, folks. We will see you next week. And thank you so much for your grace as I'm getting through, well, life. It's really all that it is.
We've all been there.
I just can't do it. I'm not very good at this. So we will talk to you soon. We'll probably have a live before too long. We had a really fun live the last time, before when we didn't put out an episode, we did a live that Saturday and,
we spent all of our time on it.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
It was so much fun. We got to watch some weird videos and, discuss them. So you guys should join in on the lives because they are a lot of fun.
They are.
We get a lot of good discussion out of it. And I always say something stupid, which is, you know, good for everybody else.
It's a good laugh.
Mm-hmm. So if you have any suggestions on what we should do on our next live, and it's not Lizzie Borden. Every single time somebody says that. And I'm working on it, guys. I'm working
on it. She opened the book the other night.
I did. I'm on page 5 of 1,087.
God, woman.
It's so big. It's like daunting and overwhelming. And
just finish your class first.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, have a great week, you guys. Thank you for being so kind. And we love you so, so much.
For sure.
Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Bye.
Bye.